study from His Word, and I am thankful for that. Let's pray. God, this morning we just thank You again. Thank You for all those who are involved here at the church. So thankful for this body of believers, for those that are of the same mind, and just thankful for this family. Thankful that we can come and have a place to study Your Word. And I pray this morning that we would gain from Your Word, that we would understand that that is the most important thing because that's what Your Word says. I pray for those that are away today, and I pray this morning that we would just maybe set those things aside that we're busy with through this time in our life, and maybe the next 30 or 40 minutes that we could just focus again on Your beautiful Word. In Your name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk about the grace of God. You know, I get caught up in so much stuff in life today, and I mean from work to politics to kids to you name it. So many times we get caught up in things that we need to be reminded. Although many of these verses we'll share this morning you've heard, it's just good to be reminded of the grace of God. This morning, if you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Good to have my wife with me this morning. Many of y'all didn't believe I was married. You just thought I was making it up. But she's 100 miles an hour. She's busier than I am usually. But it's good to have my wife here this morning. So y'all make her welcome when you get a chance to date at the end of the day and embarrass her if you can. But she'll get you right back, I promise you. The grace of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God. So many times we use other things, but you know it all comes down to, in our life today, about things that are true and things that are for us. Where do we get it from? The Word of God. And we thank God without ceasing, because when we received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, he says, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. You know, this morning, all over the place, people will be sitting just like you are, with men behind a pulpit, or in music, or in a Bible study, or at some kind of gathering, and you know what they'll be receiving? They'll be receiving the word of men, not the word of God. Because so many men today have missed the mark of making the Word of God important. And instead, because of their schooling or their intellectualism or because of who they've learned under, they want you to grab their words instead of God's words. Well, the Apostle Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Paul is thanking God without ceasing because when these people who are reading this letter received the Word of God, which they had heard of Paul, okay, they received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Why? What does the Word of God do? It says, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If you're a believer, the Word of God works effectually in you. Therefore, you could say, if you're not a believer, the Word of God doesn't work effectually in you. So the thing that's important to the Apostle Paul and what he's thanking God for without ceasing is the fact that the people that he's written to that are believers, that this Word of God, not the Word of man, is working in them. It is effectual. It reminds me in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. If you want to turn there real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. What Scripture does for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul had written all Scripture. That's all Scripture. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say many Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So if we want to say that God is most important in our life, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, we would stand to believe that the Word of God should be important in our life, right? And it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is... Now, a while ago, we talked about it worked effectually in us, right? Well, here it says, given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. For being able to stand for what you believe in. You know, if you have no authority by what you stand for what you believe in, then you have a doctrine that you can't prove to be true. So the Word of God is important because it works effectually in us, and because it's inspired by God, it's all important. But not only that, it is profitable for doctrine, for what we believe. It's profitable for reproof, for correcting those things. Hey, let me tell you, at 50 years old, I can go back in the times where I grew up under a denominational system in my life, and there were many things that I learned that were right. There were many things that I learned that were also wrong that I would have never known was wrong unless I used the Scripture to reproof me, to a point where I can say, you know what? I never realized that. So the Word of God from age 20 to age 50 to age 70, no matter how old you are, is profitable. And it's for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that word righteousness is, just because it's got a lot of letters in that word, it's just saying for things that are right, for rightness. That's how we stand with our doctrine. That word truly is the issue that God's Word works through your life. You know, I used to read that word thoroughly. I don't know why, because I'd read it fast and I didn't care. But I used to read it as though for reproof, for correction. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for reproof and for correction. And it says in the next verse that it is throughly furnished, not thoroughly. Okay? I used to read it, but instead it's throughly. That next verse, it's throughly. This would be to carry the actions, the attitudes, and the ability of the Lord's, of Lord Jesus in your life. That's what the Scripture's for. It works when you believe it. It will not work if not believed. It's pretty simple. But when you take God's Word and you rightly divide it, you will receive the profit that God meant for you to have is what you'll receive. Then you trust it, you believe it, and it should be your faith resting in the truth of God's grace. Those two verses alone speak much for us, for our understanding, for our profit. To know that we're confident in what we believe. We're confident in what we believe because of what? The Word of God. We trust that it's the authority for our lives. When this is done, the Spirit of God brings that truth into the experience of your life. Well, then what do we see? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 2. Romans 12, 2. When we understand that Scripture is profitable, when we understand that Scripture is effectual, when we understand that the Scripture is the inspiration of God, then we can have an understanding in Romans 12, 2, why the Word is important. Romans 12, 2, the Word says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The way you understand that is to understand His Word. You can't understand the will of God if you can't understand the Word. If you don't understand that it's effectual, that it's profitable for our doctrine to be reproved, to see correction, to have understanding, to trust in that, then we can't be conformed in the way He wants us to be conformed. Instead, we're conformed to this world. You know, a lot of times we read the Scriptures and we think we're in church and other people are in church and there's all these other buildings today that are filled with people. But did you know there's a lot of denominations today that sit where you sit, and because they don't know the Word, they're going to church and they're being conformed to this world. Because the Scripture's not profitable. You know why? Because they're praying without ceasing for the words of men and not the Word of God. The Word of God has to be the most important. You will see that transforming power of God's grace working eternally through you for His glory by knowing His Word. As believers, that should be the goal that we have for others, that God's will for the believer today. To not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What else do we see when we understand the Word? It gives us an understanding. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have, this word's important, even though it's just three letters. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. When the Scripture we've already read, we know where the truth is at. It's the Word of God. That is the truth. It's not to get you saved and walk in a denominational garb, but it's for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Not to join somewhere, but to come to the understanding who God made you when you trusted Him, who God made you in His Son. So the life of Christ can live in and through you. I want to look at some Scripture that gives us a bold picture of what grace is all about, because I think that's where we miss it. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Let's look at verse 11 through 13. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, the Word of God says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ." See, here we see the work of faith in the past. In verse 11 it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now we know that the grace of God begins with an appearing. We all know that God's grace came by an appearing, right? "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared." Look at verse 13. We also know it's looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, another appearing, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So it begins with an appearing. The grace of God begins with an appearing. And guess what? It ends with an appearing. It begins with the appearing of Jesus Christ with the Apostle Paul. In Acts 26:16, if you want to turn with me real quick, to Acts 26:16, we're reminded of when the grace of God appeared. Paul here in Acts chapter 26 is reminding them, he's sharing a testimony of what happened to him. And he shares that Christ said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." So there was an appearing, and it was the appearing of the grace of God that was given to the Apostle Paul. And there was a purpose for it. says, "For this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." And Jesus Christ communicated to the Apostle Paul a new revelation of information. In fact, this new revelation of information that was given to the Apostle Paul was never given to anyone else. If you go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, we'll see this proven. Ephesians 3, verse 2 and 3. The Apostle Paul proclaims, he says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you." See how personal it is? It doesn't say which was given us to you, but Paul made it personal. It was appeared unto him to give to others as a minister. He says, "If you have heard of the dispensation," everybody makes this word, or they either don't like the word or they love the word. I've never seen an in-between in this word. But the word dispensation is not that hard to understand. It's how something is dispensed. If I'm on blood pressure medicine and it's not working and I go to the doctor, he is going to change my medication. And so he's going to give me another dispense, right? I'm going to take it differently, or I'm going to take more of it, or he's going to change my medication altogether. In the same way that Paul says here, there was another dispense. And guess what it was? It was the grace of God that was given to Paul so that all could be saved. Not just some, not just many, but we stand here this morning to rejoice in the fact that he has appeared to all men so that all could be saved. A revelation, a dispensation, something that was different. The medication was changed. Did God change? God never changes. But did His program change so that all could be saved? Absolutely. And that's why we rejoice in the fact of God's grace and what it does for our life. And guess what? We know it's true by the fact that we know the Word, because we know His Word is true. And that's how it works effectually in me. It gives me confidence in the fact when I walk out into this world and I do things and I ask myself, why in the world did I do that? It doesn't affect my salvation. His grace took care of my salvation. Does that mean I don't mess up? Absolutely not. Believe it or not, I do mess up. But guess what? It has nothing to do with the dispensation of grace. I didn't bring out the dispensation of grace. God did. So I can't take it away, what I trust. And I'm confident today that I can rejoice in the fact, no matter where I start or end up, there's one thing that I have, and that's the grace of God. And His Word works effectually in me in the fact that I trust and I count on what He did for me. That was the message that was given to Paul. It was a revelation. It was something that had never been known before. And so we see in Ephesians 3:2, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." Look at this, verse 3. "How that by revelation he made known unto me," what was it? The mystery. Something that is a mystery, it can't be a mystery if somebody else knew it, can it? It was a mystery. It says, "Known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." Skip down to verse 5. Paul says, "Which in other ages," that means what? Other dispensations? Other times? In time past? And if it's time past, Paul says, "but now." But he says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So, not according to my words, not according to anybody else but the Word of God, because that's what's profitable for us, for reproof, for correction, and for doctrine. According to the Word of God, there was a system of information that God had kept secret. He had kept it hid in Himself. Now, a lot of people, that just, they make that harder than it is, and it just blows their mind how God kept anything hidden. Well, I didn't say it. The Word of God says it. In verse 9 of chapter 3, look what the Apostle Paul says. Here's that all again. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of, there's that word again, of the mystery. Something that had not been known. Now, there's a fellowship. There's a surrounding. There's a gathering about it, right? Because it's now been dispensated to the Apostle Paul, to Eward. And he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Doesn't mean God changes. That means God's will is set. And He had this program the whole time, knowing that we could not help ourselves. We needed the grace of God. Amen? That's what we needed. So, it's a fellowship of mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So He hid in Himself until there was a time to reveal it. And we know that appearing by what the Apostle Paul said that we read in Acts chapter 26. It was appeared unto Paul. And what Ephesians chapter 3 says, to give unto Paul, to give to you the grace of God. And in the time to reveal it, He revealed it to and through the Apostle Paul. This is why the Apostle Paul can say in Romans, turn with me to chapter 16 and look at verse 25. This is why Paul can say what he says. Now we know that Paul said it, and we know it's in Paul's letters, but we know all Scripture is given by inspiration. So we know Paul may have written it, but it was given by God to Paul. Romans 16:25. The Apostle Paul says, now to Him that is of power to what? What's Scripture for? It works effectually. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for doctrine. And it gives you, it's the power to what? To establish you. According, what does Paul say? To our gospel? Paul makes it personal. To my gospel. That's singular. It was something that was given to Paul, that was a mystery, that was a revelation, that is now being dispensed to establish you so that you can be confident in what you believe. So it says, to establish you according to my gospel. The word gospel, people make so confusing also, I notice. If you ask people about the gospel, it was his good news. It was the good news that was given to Paul from Jesus Christ. This gospel of good news was the grace of God that had been hidden in God until it was appeared unto Paul. This good news. So Paul says, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my good news and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, does Paul make it a big deal like we're going to worship Paul? Absolutely not. He makes the issue that it was given to him so that we may see what Christ did. It says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what was taught me back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No. It wasn't according to any man, but it was according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. What does the next verse say? The first five letters, first five words. But now is made, just like I use that word dispense as a medication, another term that you hear a lot in the medical field, but now, that means everything's changed. But now is made manifest. Why? Because it was given to Paul so that all men may be saved. Right? It's made itself manifest. God's grace, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the grace of God is manifest. So it's not a superstition. It's not something that's really hard to understand. It didn't come to anyone through a dream. Instead, it was simply at one time a secret that became a revelation, that was known as a mystery, that had now become dispensated unto all. Right? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God," how? "In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God." Now, if God's Word is absolute truth, and it's what we count on for our doctrine, it's what we stand upon, right? There can be no break in it, right? And if Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom," then it must have been hidden. It must have not been known to others at another time in the ages past, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Is that not amazing? To know that we live in a day that we have it all revealed to us, that it's, nothing's hidden because the Word of God is complete. We don't see things, things aren't past and new things to come. God's Word is complete. And we rejoice in the fact that we can understand by which we're saved, the grace of God, by what Christ did over 2,000 years ago on a cross. That before the cross, others didn't have a clue because they were hidden. There are things that you would have to go through Israel's program. And you would have to die in your faith. But today, because of the dispensation of the grace of God, what appeared to Paul, that appears to us, we don't have to go through anything. Christ went through it all. He was the sacrifice. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In other words, God had it planned. He knew what He was going to do. He just kept it hidden until He chose to reveal it. He chose to reveal to and through the Apostle Paul. The reason Paul is in the Bible is because he is to be the testifier of the new message. The message of the grace of God appearing to all men. It wasn't just a focus on the nation Israel. Prior to Paul, there was a program in the Word that goes all the way back to Genesis. It came all the way up through Paul and focused on redeeming man on earth. But it isn't so today. And we know it because of what was revealed to the Apostle Paul. The way he was going to do it was through Israel. In the Bible, from Genesis to the book of Acts, over 200 times, do you realize the God of the Bible calls Himself the God of Israel? Other times, He calls Himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was no other religion, there is no other nation, there is no other people that the God of the Bible ever says, "I am the God of," that many times. Before what appeared to the Apostle Paul, which was the revelation, which was the mystery, which is the dispensation of grace that we have today, before that, He was the God of Israel. But He had something hidden. Knowing Israel would fail, and all men would fail, His Son would not fail. To understand the Word, you need to understand the God of Israel also then. Because He says many times that He was the God of Israel. However, which is a big word, not a lot of letters, but a big word. However, when you come to the Apostle Paul, he says, "I'm the God of the Gentiles too." Go to Romans 11, 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Notice what Paul says. Talking of Israel, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Look on down in verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. So many will say, wasn't that terrible that Israel went through all that they went through and they failed? No, because that's the basis of why you're saved today. That's the basis of why we have the dispensation of grace, so that all could be saved. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now think about it. If in time past, circumcision was required, and now it's not required, if it has no power today, then would that not be a change in a program? See, people really struggle when you take the Word of God and you talk about rightly dividing it. They really struggle thinking, well, you said all Scripture is profitable, which it is. It's for our understanding, so we can understand where we fit in the dispensation we're in today. That we're in the dispensation of the grace of God that appeared to Paul. That means before Paul, there would have been another dispensation. So therefore, we would have to divide that which was given to the Apostle Paul after the cross and go and something different before the cross, right? You would have to. When God told Adam and Eve in the garden they should eat off the earth herbs and seed-bearing fruit, you don't see them eating meat then, do you? Then He tells Noah that he and his could eat meat or animal flesh. That would be a change in program, wouldn't it? So you can take program changes or dispensations in a lot of areas. Now, then Moses comes along and he says, certain meats you can eat. Then when he came to Paul and said, you can eat anything you want, that again would be a change in a program, right? Now, if you can't understand how God can change His program, if you're one to say you're going to follow exactly everything that the Bible says, I hate to hurt your feelings today, but it's impossible. You can't not eat meat and eat meat. Right? It can't be done. His program's changed for the sake of us. We could not measure up to what God expected that His Son sacrificed. That's the dispensation of grace. It's impossible. Leviticus says no pork. Timothy says you can. The Lord Himself had hidden before the world began what we have today, the grace of God. That's why dispensational studies are so important. The Word of truth has to be rightly divided. We have to recognize the distinct programs that are in God's Word. Look, just look at the difference. Go to Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Acts 3:21. Now this is Peter, who was still in Israel's program. He didn't preach anything different than he had preached before. And Peter says in Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. So Paul speaks of things that were hidden in God before the world began. Peter makes things important since the world began. Hold your place there in 3:21 and go to Romans 16:25 again. Now we just read, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Peter believed those things that were spoken of since the world began by prophets was very important. Well, the Apostle Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, in verse 25, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, there must be something different. And we've heard Steve say many times, things that are different cannot be the same. That which was made manifest, which was kept secret, was given first to the Apostle Paul because they were the things that were hidden in God that Peter never received, that James never received, that John never received, that others had not received. Does that make them wrong? No. It makes them in another program by which we can't be saved today. We're saved under what was appeared unto Paul, the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God. By the way, did the program that Israel was under save them? Absolutely not. They failed. Right? Things that are different cannot be the same. Titus 2:11 we read, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That appearing is the appearing of Christ to Paul, to begin this new program for all men, not just Israel. He's not just Israel's God now, but all men. He gave Himself for everybody, not just Israel. I'm reminded, and you don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but in Mark 10:45, look at the difference in what was given to Israel and us. Just look at the difference in the words. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life, listen, a ransom for many. Did that say all? Many is a certain group. It's a certain amount. But it's not all. Many is not all. In Israel's program, guess who He came to seek and save? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. But for all. I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for many, no, it says died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15, and that He died for many? No, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, under a different program that was appeared unto Paul, that gives us the dispensation of the grace of God, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So we now have an everyman message, that all can be saved by what was given to the Apostle Paul. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Have an understanding of God's Word. Soberly, to be mentally capable of having an understanding. To be sober. So what does grace teach us? It teaches us that Jesus put away sin by the sacrifices of Himself. So we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That Jesus Christ died for those things and put them away. So that we should deny those things. We should deny those things or put them off. Instead, live soberly. Live righteously and godly in this world. Grace teaches us to live soberly. In other words, to think clearly. righteously, which is the identity God has given us in Christ. Godly, of course, is to do it God's way in this present world. So there is a present way to live in this world under grace. The reason I say that is many today think that when you teach people to live in grace, what you're saying is you can live in sin. Now, I've not said that at all today. In fact, according to Romans 6:14, it's exactly the opposite. It doesn't mean we're not capable of sinning because we're saved by grace. And grace doesn't teach us that we have license to do what we want to and not worry about it. It teaches the opposite. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Because of grace, look at Romans 6:14. Because of grace, Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now, most preachers and most of Christianity teaches you that you need the law to stop sin. And if you don't have the law, that you're going to live in sin. And so what they do is they take grace and law and they make them the same thing. And grace and law are nothing alike. But this is not what the Scripture says. It says, think soberly. Romans 6:14, we said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Most are not familiar with this next verse. 1 Corinthians 15:56, the word says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin," not the strength of grace, it says, "the strength of sin is the law." So law and grace cannot be the same. 1 Corinthians 15:56, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Does that make the law bad? No, the law shows us who we are without Christ. The very thing that makes sin strong in our life is the law. I'm reminded of a story that was told, and it's just a good example how years ago, there was a preacher that told the story how they would go to New Orleans, and they were stayed in a hotel that had huge plate glass windows. And for years they went there, and they were like right on the coast. And he said they went for years and years and years, and one year they went, and somebody had put a sign on the window that says, "No fishing from the balcony." Do you know what that law did? It caused them to want to fish off the balcony. They never thought about it before. And what would happen, people started fishing off the balcony now. And they would have to have a heavy weight on that line because they'd be way up, and in order to cast it to go into the water, as tall as they were, they had to have a heavy weight. Well, the wind would blow, and it'd go underneath, and it would break the glass plate window underneath them. But he said, "We never thought about fishing off the balcony until we saw the sign." That's what the law does. It shows us who we are without Christ. It shows us that we can't make it without Christ. So the very thing that makes sin strong is in your life is the law. The law was made for us to know we are sinners. To know that we need a Savior. The law was not made to save us. It was to acknowledge sin. Israel, a perfect example was Israel. They started with the Ten Commandments, right? And they continued to add laws and to add laws and to add laws. They added to them and they would say, "Give me a law so I can please God." And every time they thought they would have a law to please God, guess what? They would fail every time. The law points out that you have a problem. So the law is good. Without knowing we have a problem and we have a need, we wouldn't know that we needed a Savior, would we? So the law is good, but the law shows our sin. The law says, you have come short of the glory of God. It tells us that we are weak in our flesh. There isn't anything wrong with the law. It shows us that the problem is us, that we can't keep it. So what we recognize because of this is what? You know what I recognize because of the law? That it's not the same as the grace of God, but I recognize the grace of God. I recognize without what Christ did over 2,000 years ago on the cross, that I have no hope. But because of what was given to the Apostle Paul that appeared to him, that has appeared to you, to all men, so that all may be saved, is to have the understanding of the dispensation of the grace of God. Grace is what God was free to do for you, the work of Christ. Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24. The Word of God says, being justified freely, it didn't cost us anything, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know what's awesome about the grace of God? Nobody can take it away from me. Not one person. You can tell me what you want, and you can tell me you don't think I'm saved, or you can tell me I'm crazy, or you can tell me I don't know. But you know what God's Word tells me? God's Word tells me that I was justified freely by the grace of God. As crazy as I am, as crazy as I look, or as much as I may mess up, can't take away what Christ did. You can't take Him off the cross now. He's already taken care of the way. Amen? That gives hope for that person that lives their life without knowing until they know. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, grace comes from the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So when we learn what the grace of God teaches us, teaching us that we have been set free in Jesus Christ, that we have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ, then we will discover that the secret of the saved life is Calvary. Your faith resting in the facts of the cross of Christ, it gives the Holy Spirit freedom to put that finished work into your daily life. And you know what it does most of all? It makes you dead to sin and alive unto God. Regardless of the consequences, regardless of the situation, it can never take away what God hid a long time ago that He revealed to Paul, that has been revealed to you, the grace of Christ, by Him dying, rose again the third day, dying for your sins. Amen? The question is then, are you alive unto God? Mark, will you close in prayer? There will be services tonight. Mark, you teaching tonight? Okay, and then now do what Ruth said. Go home.